The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And then he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." And then called a crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Please join with me in prayer. Gracious God, bless the reading, the hearing, and the interpretation of your holy word this morning, so that we may be people who live in hope to the glory of your name. This we pray. Amen. Please be seated. What can you give in exchange for your life? Jesus asked the crowds. I asked this question at our dinner table the other night to see what my family folk would say. If necessary, would you abandon your home, the personal items that you hold sacred, as the threat of a hurricane quickly approaches and mandatory evacuation orders are given? Would you stay? Would you hunker down? Would you get in a boat and help others if you had one? Would you run down dust-filled corridors and climb over twisted sheet metal, steel, and dead bodies of coworkers and friends as fast as you can in order to get to the only surviving stairway in the South Tower of the World Trade Center on September 11th? Would you flee your home and seek refuge? If your neighbor's house and other homes in your Boston suburb suddenly exploded because of overpressurization of natural gas lines? When your life's in immediate danger, the answer to these questions are pretty obvious. On the flip side, I ask myself what my current life would be like in a less dramatic way if I were to change something as simple as my eating habits once again. If I knew that changing what I eat might save my life 32 years from now when I am 80 years old.
I can see you're doing the math. Some have their smartphones out.
But still, what would you give up if by doing so you could be somehow a benefit to someone else's life? These questions could go on, and it shows that we're really not consistent, especially me. In some ways, I'm willing to give greatly in exchange for life. Leaving our home in the face of a dangerous storm when the winds and rain begin to pound at our windows, or dropping everything and fleeing down a staircase as jet fuel, rains from the ceiling. But in other ways, we're not very willing to give up much in exchange for our normal day-to-day, especially if we're asked to give up something now, such as my order of large French fries at McDonald's, for a sustaining benefit that is perhaps far, far into the future. What would happen if I put down those French fries, and what kind of quality of life would my family members have if I did so? There's no easy or correct answers to any one of these situations. Let me be clear. There are no right or wrong answers here. Everyone processes and perceives things differently. It's what makes us unique, one from another. And without this uniqueness, our world would be grayscale and dull. And every once in a while, maybe once every 3 or 4 months, we hear a feel-good human interest story on the internet that is wedged amongst the police blotter and the weather report teasers that come along that make up the majority of what passes for local news these days. Now, the feel-good story will be about a regular customer at a diner who gave a kidney to one of the wait staff who has waited on that customer for years. The server looks into the camera with a single tear of gratitude running down their cheek and says, "I never met someone who was so generous. They have renewed my faith in the goodness of humanity." Jesus is quite clear in verse 34 that as Christians we may be called to give up quite a bit in exchange for our lives, not to mention for the lives of others around us. And to fully understand the self-denial, and denial was this word that got stuck in my craw like all week. I went to my interlinear Bible trying to get a better definition for denial. But he describes this self-denial in verses 34 and 35. And when he does that, we need to remove our 21st century lenses from the text. We can't look at it in modernity. And we have to look at it as if we were living the life of a Christian between the years 66 and 70, which coincide with Emperor Nero's persecution of Christians in Rome. It's funny because there are many places around the world to this day where it is illegal to be a Christian or to convert to Christianity. Our Christian brothers and sisters in such places are reminded daily that our faith can require an extreme amount of courage. In Egypt, for example, 2 church bombings last Easter killed 49 people. Another 29 were killed when extremists attacked people traveling to a monastery in May of the same year. The cruel irony here is that Egypt boasts one of the most ancient of all Christian churches, known as the Coptic Church. And according to tradition, to church tradition, that church descended from Mark the Evangelist
that we read this morning. In North Korea, it's a little worse. Well, actually, it's a whole lot worse. The ownership of a Bible is grounds for deportation to a re-education and work camp. Yet the church there remarkably and boldly continues to grow rather quickly, now numbering 500,000 people. This is not to say that our Muslim brothers and sisters who live in the western provinces of China have it any easier. But I ask myself, could I be a Christian in Egypt or North Korea? So all this open talk about self-denial and death is too much for Peter, who pulls Jesus aside and begins to set him straight. But Jesus immediately rebukes him. "Get behind me, Satan." And that's strong language, because if you look at the whole text in its entirety, a few verses back, prior to the gospel reading this morning, Jesus praises Peter and calls Peter's faith the rock upon which he will build the church. But then a few verses later, we have this dramatic shift and contrast in Jesus' tone. So the bottom line, what and how Jesus gives to others challenges social norms. Jesus reaches out to those who would otherwise be overlooked in a way that truly upholds life. And Peter does not get that yet. That is typical with the disciples throughout Mark's gospel. This is a common theme. So when you say the things that Jesus says, and you do the things that Jesus does, there's a big heaping dollop of risk, both social and personal, that comes along with your action. And living with this risk is how you will know you are walking with Jesus. And by doing so, you will live life more abundantly, according to verse 35 of the gospel. Another example. A few months back, members of the core team from our Church Without Walls, folks from this church, we arrived at Court Square, only to find out that our Celtic cross, which was donated by Bill Grace, was nowhere to be found. We all stood around for a few moments trying to figure out where the cross might be. Was it in someone's car, since we take multiple cars? Did we leave it at church in the back hallway? And many of you know what this cross looks like, because it is the same cross that is often used on our Celtic services. So, given that, did we leave it in the sacristy? Did we leave it in the room where we put on our robes? But then one of us suggested that we left it on the sidewalk the week prior. The cross was gone. We were all down, kind of moping around for a couple minutes. And then just soon as we realized what had happened, Leonard, a faithful congregant of the Church Without Walls congregation, was walking up from the Mass Mutual Center up Court Street toward the church, carrying our Celtic cross. Now, if you know Leonard is unhoused and lives in various places outdoors in the city of Springfield. So he comes running up and he explains that when he saw the cross left behind, he picked it up and he hauled it from place to place. He told us that, like, he hid it in the bushes. He wrapped it up and placed it with his belongings on fire escapes.
and in parking garages. The homeless are always on the move. And so was the cross. So if you look at your bulletin insert, it is your invitation to Church Without Walls, but there is Leonard with the cross. And not only did he give us permission to take the picture, he's like, hey, can you take my picture? And I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. I can do that. That's great. But we don't all have a literal cross to carry about like Leonard here does. But we all possess and carry something inside of us that we have been freely given to follow Jesus. So now let us reconsider that question. What exactly are we giving? Or do we plan to give in return, in thanksgiving, in glorious thanksgiving, for our life in Christ, for the gift that we can meet here and worship here together? We may not know each other's names by heart, but we're not going to get shot, and the building's not going to explode. Thanks be to God. And now to one who loves us, who redeems us, and gives us abundant life, be all the glory in the church and in our lives this time forth and forevermore. Amen.